Financial metrics. Financial metrics are often assembled by finance professionals, but supply chain managers need to know how to interpret these metrics. Financial metrics for the supply chain include profit, cost, supply chain cost, the speed of converting orders into cash, supplier bankruptcy risk, and customer credit. Profit metrics. Supply chain management cost reduction and efficiency efforts are a powerful lever that can improve organizational profitability with more impact even than increasing sales. Sales also increase the cost of goods sold and other variable costs, while cost reductions directly increase profits. Therefore, many supply chain functions measure and report on their contributions to profitability. This can be broken down into segments for further analysis, such as customer segment profitability or direct product profitability. Furthermore, individual product families or products can be assessed for their profitability using contribution margin analysis, sales minus variable costs, to show how well the product contributes to profit. Cost metrics. There are a number of ways to measure the cost of an organization's supply chain function. Cost areas include order processing, inventory, transportation, warehousing and materials handling, and facility network integration. Here are some ways of breaking down the organization's costs. Total landed cost, or total cost. Cost per major supply chain function. For example, order processing. Cost per detailed supply chain function. For example, order picking, loading. Cost per unit. Cost as a percentage of net sales. Inbound freight cost. Warehouse order processing cost. Inventory carrying cost. Administrative costs. Direct labor costs. Outbound freight cost.
Damage cost.
Return cost. Service failure cost.
Backorder cost.
In addition to cost breakdowns, supply chain managers can analyze cost trends and variances from budget. Trends analyze changes in cost over time and can be graphed to make a trend easier to project forward. Variances require some form of baseline or budget against which operational data can be compared. Variances can be in a favorable or unfavorable direction, so the direction and magnitude of the variances are tracked. Often organizations set a threshold for variances to indicate what level of minor variances are acceptable, but beyond which a variance will require exception handling. Total costs for all of an organization's supply chain functions may be challenging to collect, as this may involve multiple subsidiaries and business units, as well as multiple information systems. Nevertheless, it is important to put the work in to achieve this level of data gathering so that analysis captures the big picture. In some cases, cost metrics may be best served by also measuring number of orders, volume, or weight in addition to cost. This will help explain why certain activities consume more expense than others so that management control can be fine-tuned. Multiple organization metrics. Multi-organization metrics include supply chain total cost, which is an aggregation of the costs of all organizations that participate in a given supply chain. Supply chain total cost is illustrated in Exhibit 2-45. Exhibit 2-45, supply chain total cost. The purpose of developing methods of assessing the costs from end to end is to combat suboptimization. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines suboptimization in part as a solution to a problem that is best from a narrow point of view, but not from a higher or overall company point of view, or in this case, not from an entire supply chain point of view. When one company attempts to shift costs to another supply chain participant, it is only a good move when the total supply chain cost is lower. If the total supply chain cost is higher, it ultimately means a higher price to the final end user, which reduces demand and provides more room for competitors to offer lower prices. The idea is to share the benefits of cost reductions fairly so that everyone benefits. Many of the metrics discussed in these materials can be used with data collected and aggregated from multiple supply chain partners. However, it is difficult enough to collect data for some of these metrics from just within one's own organization. It is considerably more difficult to gather data from multiple organizations. In many cases, the data will not be made available. For example, data on costs may be considered secret. One way to improve data collection for the entire supply chain is to use a third party to collect all of the data. This third party can collect the data that are available, extrapolate other data, and then provide objective reports on the performance of the supply chain. Some additional ways to measure the entire supply chain follow. Measure total supply chain cost and total supply chain quality together to get a sense of value being delivered. Measure inventory days of supply. This is the total amount of inventory anywhere in the supply chain. It is used to show how shifting inventory to other parts of a supply chain just becomes a hidden cost. This can be extended to include raw material supplies. Measured dwell time. This is a measure of all inventory idle time in all parts of the supply chain. Idle inventory is non-productive inventory for the most part, and shifting dwell time elsewhere is still a cost to all. Use fill rate and order to receipt response time. Both are defined elsewhere to measure overall delivery effectiveness. Measure on shelf and stock percentage in addition to fill rates. Fill rates measure replenishment at warehouses and retail locations, but do not provide assurance that goods are on the shelves at retail stores when the customer wants to buy them. Therefore, also measuring the percentage of time goods are on the shelves is important for determining overall customer satisfaction. In addition, it is a good idea to assess how much formal collaboration and information sharing is going on in your supply chain versus how much work remains to be done. Assessing supplier health using financial statement ratios. The financial statements of publicly owned suppliers will be available for review. Privately owned organizations are not required to publish financial statements, so the following techniques cannot be used unless such organizations voluntarily make the information available. Information from financial statements can be used to develop financial ratios, which are basically one value divided by another to provide a one-number assessment of some part of the organization's relative financial status. Your organization's financial professionals can create a set of ratios for each publicly owned supplier in your supply chain, or a private supplier who voluntarily publishes this data. You may need to interpret these ratios, at least insofar as to see when these ratios are improving or getting worse. There are four major groups of ratios that can be of use in determining an organization's financial health. Liquidity ratios. Liquidity ratios measure how quickly certain assets can be converted into cash, or how easily the organization can meet its short-term financial obligations. These ratios should be increasing or remaining steady if already high enough. Example. Quick ratio equals current assets minus inventories / current liabilities. Activity ratios. Activity ratios measure effective use of assets. This can be total assets, current assets, excludes long-term assets, or inventory. These are called turnover ratios when they use sales divided by the type of asset. Turnover ratio should in general be increasing. Example, inventory turnover equals sales / average inventory. If there was $100 in sales and $50 in inventory, then the ratio would be 2.0, and this would mean that inventory turned over twice in a year. Inventory days is outstanding is another example. Example, inventory days is outstanding equals 365 / inventory turnover. This ratio counts how many days it takes to sell off all the inventory. For example, 365 / 2 equals 182.5 days, and this type of ratio ideally should be decreasing. Leverage ratios. Leverage ratios measure how much debt is being used to finance the business, and thus help to project whether it is likely to meet its debt payments. Various types of debt divided by equity are better when they are lower, from a supplier solvency point of view. Example, current debt to equity equals current liability / equity. However, the interest coverage ratio should be higher. This is how well the organization's earnings can cover its interest payments. Profitability ratios. Profitability ratios measure various types of return on investment. All of these ratios are better when they are higher. Example, net profit margin equals net profit / net sales. A 10% margin would mean that for every dollar earned, you get 10 cents of profit. Financial analysts can also look at the supplier's financial market values or growth over time to see if they are getting more valuable or growing or the opposite. Obtaining financial statements in many parts of the world is very easy and straightforward. They are typically available online. Financial statements in some parts of the world may not be sufficiently regulated to be considered completely reliable. Another complication for suppliers that are owned by large holding companies is that splitting off the financial information for just one subsidiary may require significant effort. Alternate or supplemental sources of financial information may be needed. Bankruptcy risk metric, Altman Z-score. The Altman Z-score, or Z-score for short, is a combination of 4 or 5 weighted ratios developed by Dr. Edward Altman to measure bankruptcy risk. The resulting one-number score has a 90% accuracy in predicting bankruptcy 1 year into the future and 75% accuracy for 2 years out. Tracking this score on a quarterly basis can provide relatively current information on each supplier's bankruptcy risk or financial stability. Organizations are rated using a red/yellow/green system. Suppliers with a score below the red threshold might not be selected or could be candidates for replacement. Suppliers in the yellow zone might be watched closely or given assistance. Suppliers above the green threshold are stable. There are different Z-score formulas for public and private organizations. Public organizations use the following 5-ratio formula. Private organizations use the following 4-ratio formula. While you will not likely need to calculate this ratio yourself, take a look at what makes it up and note that the first 4 ratios are the same for both variants. Note also how the weightings, the hard numbers to multiply against each ratio, differ depending on whether it is a public or private organization. The higher the weighting, the more importance it has as a bankruptcy predictor. Exhibit 2-46 shows the relevant information for the supply chain manager, the cutoff scores for the red, yellow, and green categories. Note that these cutoff scores come from Schlegel and Trent in supply chain risk management, an emerging discipline, and that other resources may use slightly different cutoff scores. Exhibit 2-46, Z-score cutoff points. Customer credit worthiness. The basic goal of monitoring customer credit worthiness is to ensure that invoices are paid on time, or at all. Customers who do not have a sufficiently high credit score might be denied trade credit, for example payment within 30 days or some other terms, and be asked to submit a wire transfer or other form of cash in advance. In addition to maintaining internal records, an organization's credit department might use third-party credit ratings for organizational customers. For example, Dun & Bradstreet produces ratings of organizational creditworthiness, including recommended credit limits. Another example is the Coface Group's Debtor Risk Assessment, DRI, score, which is a score from 1 to 10 that is based on organizational history, ability to pay, and market factors. Strategic profit model, return on assets breakdown. One way to measure return on investment is to measure return on assets, ROI, ROI equals net profit margin multiplied by asset turnover. This is a ratio that shows how much in profits the organization's assets generate. It is a good measure of profitability for supply chain managers, because they are responsible for managing a number of the assets that are counted in this metric, as well as the expenses that make up the cost of goods sold. One way to break return on assets down into its components is the strategic profit model, which is shown in Exhibit 2-47 along with some sample data. Exhibit 2-47, Strategic Profit Model with Sample Data. Moving from top to bottom, the exhibit shows first how to calculate ROI. 0.143 or 14.3% in the example. Then how to calculate these two base ratios, and then how to calculate some of the inputs. Others are simply entered into the spreadsheet as input data. Net profit margin is net profit divided by net sales, while asset turnover is net sales divided by total assets. Of these, net profit and total assets are broken down further. Net profit is gross profit less total expenses, while total assets is current assets plus fixed assets. Gross profit, total expenses, and current assets are also calculated using the input shown. The benefit of looking at ROI in this way is that it shows there are multiple ways to increase ROI. Supply chain managers can see the areas where they can have influence. They can reduce inventory, but will also see how ROI could drop if lack of inventory starts to hurt net sales. They might also reduce the cost of goods sold, but again, only to the point where net sales don't cause ROI to fall, for example, due to quality issues. Supply chain managers can also use this model to work with managers in other areas, such as helping sales managers expand from a view of just increasing sales volume to a holistic view of maximizing ROI. When the model is put into a spreadsheet, as in the exhibit, the additions and subtractions and divisions can be automated so that various scenarios can be explored. This might include reducing inventory, increasing sales, or reducing the cost of goods sold. However, these values usually affect one another. For example, reducing inventory would also reduce the inventory carrying cost, so this would reduce variable expenses by a certain amount. As stated before, it could also reduce net sales. These complexities could also be included in the model or calculated in a different way. Using the sample data in the prior exhibit, Exhibit 2-48 assumes that inventory is reduced by US$40 and that, since there is an inventory carrying cost of 25%, There is also a reduction in variable costs of US$10, 0.25 times US$40 equals US$10. However, there is a reduction in sales of 1%, or US$10. Exhibit 2-48, Strategic Profit Model with Reduction in Inventory, Carrying Cost, and Net Sales. In this scenario, the ROI increases from 14.3% to 15.8%, even with the reduction in net sales. However, without that reduction, the ROI would have jumped to 18.4%. Conversely, a reduction in sales of about 1.59% or more, given this data, would result in a net reduction in ROI. In such a case, the inventory reduction would have destroyed more value than it created. Analyses such as these can play out hypothetical scenarios or be used to study the impact of actual decisions after the results have come in.